Dan actually said that Brent may be here. He's coming from the cities and will see the traffic jam. Valerie will not be here. I don't, are we missing anyone else?
One more.
Okay, well, we'll do call a meeting to order. And I'd like to say that one of the things we need to do is item two in the agenda was call to order again. And I assume that mixed in for set the agenda, which has always been our second item. So I'd like to propose some agenda changes, if I might, for your discussion. And that is that under call meeting to order, we do a roll call because it makes it clear who's here. Two becomes set agenda. 5A, the bridge. I think I reviewed something with Aaron, and it needs to be on the agenda today because it's going forward in a bonding bill, which is why it's on the agenda. I was hoping it could be pushed back. Is that correct, Aaron, as far as my summary on that? And then 6A on the vice chair, just a comment would be the meeting will definitely run through 6:30. And if anyone won't be here through 6:30, I'd like to know that because the vice chair election is way down on the agenda line. So is everybody here through 6:30 or not?
Yeah. Not passed.
Right. I understand that. Okay.
If you're not going to have a full table, would you mind if I sat?
No, absolutely not. Please do.
Thank you.
I mean, I prefer staffing was here because if we have questions, it's much easier to ask. Under item 8, I'll have two discussion points that I'd like to bring up if we have time. And Aaron, the last item was communications, which you had after adjournment, which I don't know if there was something you wanted to cover in communications, but if so, we need to move it before adjournment.
I don't think I have anything. I don't have anything in my agenda after adjournment.
I do.
Page 3.
Item 10 was communications following item 9, adjournment. I'm just asking, did you have anything you wanted to cover? Because we'll move it up.
No, I didn't. I don't know. I didn't have that on my agenda, but I see it on the webinar.
You mean earlier drafted it?
Okay. So my question generally is, we can talk about whether those are approved or not, but I also want to know if we can prioritize this agenda, knowing full well we're not going to get through every item. And I'd look to staff for guidance on that and to commission members for what, they deem as priority. I'd like to ask staff first, Barry, in terms of, because sometimes staff knows priorities that we have, like the bridge. They understand data we don't have.
Well, you got to do the bridge. I mean, that's a requirement under our ordinance, and we have to do that review. If you want PVN to continue forward with work, then you should probably have a brief discussion on their two work orders. The Cutscales demolition permit, we do have an application, so we have to deal with that. If you're talking about what to drop, my guess would be, I would say the, good question, I guess we could drop the armory update. I don't see too much time needed for that. Hopefully the Hotel Carlton discussion maybe isn't as long as anticipated. I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure. We don't have to rank any of the potential properties tonight if you don't want to.
I think we will not be able to have a valid conversation about that.
Yeah.
I mean, so one step we could do is if we want to instead, you could submit to me your rankings. I could assemble them and identify the ones that received multiple votes and all that sort of stuff. And I could send it back out to the HPC for review between now and the next meeting so we could establish a list that way.
Well, and I'd actually comment, because so many of the members are new, I think that a conversation should occur about the ranking, that will be a valuable exercise, rather than people submitting lists by email.
Do you want to start the conversation today, and then we can...
Let's see if we have
see
time.
See if we have time to go through that education.
But that, so the ranking, all right, and, okay, let's, the armory, Aaron, I believe is simply, it could be simply be an update.
I think some of these could be shorter than the time allotted, but, to be honest, my recommendation would be get going, and then as we get closer to the end, we can decide where we're at and figure out from there if we need to make some quick adjustments on the fly, but honestly, I think it's pretty much in order of how we got to deal with it anyway, so I would say let's just get the process going with it, and we can deal with it later if we have to.
Okay, so my changing 1 and 2 and just adding a few communication notes under 8, is there, what do people feel about amending the agenda? agenda in that fashion. Oh, Barry, I apologize.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping at the last meeting I had mentioned the tall building zone, which is coming up before the city council on June 5th. There's been a change to that. It's supposed to come up on June 5th or June 6th. So there will not be another meeting of our group prior to that. There's a vote on the design guidelines for a tall building. I just wanted to make sure that we had a discussion about referencing what this commission is doing.
And I can give a brief update under the PBN category about that. I'll just give a brief update to update the commission.
Right, because I just don't that we should be discussing that at least a little bit.
Okay.
So that's it. I also was hoping that rather than spending 15 minutes on the 7th Street bridge, a lot of the information was already in our packet. So I personally don't think we need 15
and
minutes.
And we're going to deal with time increments when we're in the agenda item as opposed to... That's not a conversation about it on the agenda.
No, but I'm just thinking we don't need 15 minutes. I think maybe...
But again, it's an inappropriate time to talk about it. We can talk about it when the agenda item comes up.
All right, I wasn't sure. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, do I have a motion and a second on the agenda amendment?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Let's move on to open forum, 5 minutes total. May I ask who would like to speak in the open forum? So I have one, two, so 2.5 minutes apiece.
Elaine's first.
And please introduce yourself. And if you would, I think it's if you would stand at the head of the table,
sure.
The people, everyone
sure.
can see you easily.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you.
Oh, excuse me, guys. Can we pass the recording device down?
Kelly, what we started doing is recording. So there's a recording of minutes.
I'm Kelly Muller. I live at 727 First Street Northwest. I live just a couple blocks from the Kutzke House. I want to thank all of you for being a part of the commission and volunteering your time. It's a very important job that you have to connect our history with and our culture with the growth that's happening in our community. I know that there's not a public hearing on the Kutzke House, but I wanted to let you know that I'm staying for the hearing. I would be available for any comments. I was part of all of the discussions and very involved from a neighborhood standpoint on this, the Nicholas development, the Oliver, and the moving of the Kutzke and Connolly house. I was at the HPC meetings then. I was at all the meetings with the developer, the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings, City Council meetings. I have the minutes. I have the emails. I have anything that I could provide. I would be happy to any insight. I'm also a real estate broker and developer. I understand these dilemmas. I understand. I have a pretty good depth of knowledge beyond being a neighborhood member. And I also have, over the past 15 years, renovated dozens and dozens of historic homes in our community. So I just want to make myself available. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. John, you don't get extra time. You still get 2.5 minutes.
Oh, I don't get her additional time. I'll make it as brief as I can. I have a hard time with that. The only additional comment that I would like to add to what Kelly had to say is for all of you to be able to move this discussion forward, I think it would be important to know when members of the council or administration became aware of the change and became aware of when that demolition permit was coming forward. I'm making a supposition that some members of the council would have been aware of the, number one, the deteriorated state of the building and had communication with the developers and owners and let's just say everything needs to be revealed to this board so that you can effectively make a recommendation to the city council while there be a hearing. Now that said, as some of you know, I was a bit blindsided by what Jeff Allman had to say when he was talking about objects that that are under my care, that I'm a steward of, that I have temporary ownership in. I think I have an understanding of why he brought it forward. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's gone to two National Trust workshops, I believe. Somebody might be aware of that. And this came to my mind after I went to the History Center's annual meeting and interacted with Dennis Gardner, who happens to be the National Register historian for the Minnesota State Historical Society. In his presentation, he talked about what qualifies as items that can become part of the National Register or not. And I would like to impress you and give you the four bullet points, but the point that I focused on is when he addressed objects. I'm going to suggest to you that...
Dennis Gardner addressed objects?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know whether I'm going to get a copy of that or not, but the point I would like to make is I believe that what Terry said, Terry Atkins, to the city of Rochester is incorrect. And I think that that should still be part of the discussion from your group.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, again, I apologize. It's a really tight meeting.
Okay.
And we discussed at length at the last meeting. You're going to have something in writing from Dennis Gardner about objects.
No, I'm not. I said I'm going to try and get a recording of that. I don't know if it was recorded. I mean, it was. I was blindsided at that history meeting for the annual meeting when he was addressing objects such as stone, such as a cannonball, such as whatever.
The thing is, this is, again, a subject that was of interest to people here. In terms of, we have a lot to do.
Okay.
But, no, I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying, can you keep communicating by emails or telephone calls?
I will try. I just want to say to the board that this is not
you're
closed.
Up a question that
his supposition, in my opinion, I would say is incorrect.
Specialist at State Historic Preservation Office, which is Dennis Gardner.
All we have to
you're
do
saying
is
that there are questions about city attorney's interpretation.
Correct.
Okay. Did I summarize that reasonably?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, John. All right, folks, we move on to consent agenda, which I'm not sure. I'm confused about this. We're going to move on to 4A. The consent agenda item is approval of the minutes of April 25th, 2017, which were attached in the packet. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay, I need to move one amendment, and that is specifically because after I was elected chair, I requested that Aaron Reeves' staff lead the meeting, as there were many materials referenced in the agenda with which I was unfamiliar. And I note this, Aaron accepted that charge, and I note this because in the minutes I make motions, and as chair I would not have been making motions. So I just wish it to be clear that I was not acting as chair in that meeting. And to add in 5.5, including potential historic, you know, some of the priorities in working with PVN, to add after tall building zone, quotations, including potential downtown historic district. That was one of the identified priorities. So those are the two amendments to the minutes that I would propose. Do you have any further discussion? Do I have a motion? Discussion and a second?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
And Chair, if you could maybe indicate who's making the motion, who's seconding, and what the count is for the secretary, that would help.
Okay.
I just need to know who makes the motion
four,
second, because I don't know everybody's name.
Six, seven, eight, nine. Okay, we have nine people here in the quorum. Jamie made the motion.
Nope,
who seconded
Jamie
it? And Trent seconded it. And the vote was unanimous, nine present. Do we need to do that for the past one?
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Pat. All right. Let's move into new business. This is the 7th Street Bridge, which is number, I can't remember what the number was. Remember, it's a number in our potential list. Mm-hmm. Is time sensitive. And Aaron, before you start, may I ask a question? Is the applicant planning historic rehabilitation under the state bonding request? And is the applicant, in making this presentation, requesting we move it to landmark designation? I don't know quite what's going on.
No, it's just that our ordinance requires that anything on our potential list any changes to any properties of potential list be run through the HPC just to make sure that there are no questions, concerns, things like that. So that's all this is. They're not requesting any sort of landmark designation. They don't need anything formal from the HPC unless the HPC has a problem and they would like to pass that along. And okay. Then we kick in some other requirements in the ordinance if we do.
But so then my basic question is the applicant planning historic rehabilitation under the state bonding request? I couldn't tell that. Barry, what's your question?
It's like sort of like a point of order. I just want to know, I know that we were allotting 15 minutes. I'm just trying to see if there's some way of shortening it, because I don't know if there's going to be any objections to this, and if there's a lot of material in a packet, so maybe we could just move, you know, whatever they're asking for, move consent or something, rather than have a whole big slideshow that we really don't need to hear.
Well, let's hear, I think one of the big questions is whether or not you're planning historic rehab. So let's, if you could give us a 5-minute overview, and then we could discuss.
Okay.
Thanks for having me, Board. I'm Dylan Dombrowski. I'm the Bridge Program Administrator for the city here. I work in Public Works.
Are people aware of this? It's a city bridge. And the MnDOT study is what's in there, but the city owns the bridge.
Correct. So we have 80 bridges in town that we administer through our bridge safety program. And MnDOT did a study, I'd have to look back, I think it was 2012. And that study analyzed bridges around the state, and usually it was this era where they started to identify historic bridges, or bridges that had historic elements. This is the only one in the city, the 7th Street Bridge, northeast, near the old fire station number 2. It was identified here in Rochester. There are two elements on the bridge, as I noted, the railing, and then also the variable depth concrete girders look, you know, have that arch look to them. So those two elements were identified, and that's why they were added to this study. This bridge is also deficient in its function. It's functionally obsolete. So when we do the bridge ratings, it scores very low, which means it'll score highly during the bonding application. We just need the legislature to pass those bonding dollars, and that hasn't occurred. So while I noted in here that we're looking at a project in 2018, if for some reason we got the money and we moved to the top of the list, we would potentially try to start something this fall. But really what the rehabilitation is there's a number of preservation items, not only to the historic elements, but to other parts of the bridge, because recently we had to load post this bridge with lower load rating, so that we restrict the loads going over it. Part of this project, we're gonna strengthen the bridge elements, repair the deck. You see, if you walk the sidewalk, it's very spalled, very poor condition. If you read through that report, you'll see that the beam ends at the abutments of the bridge. I know I'm getting a little technical. They're spalling. There's concrete that's broken away. We're going to make the repairs as part of the project to get it so we don't have to have it load posted once complete. So
it would be a fully functioning bridge for modern
yep, requirements. We're looking to make this bridge last another 20 to 25 years so that we don't have to fully reconstruct it, remove and replace it.
You haven't answered my basic question.
Yep, I'm getting to that.
I think if you would start off with the answer to that question, that would be, given the charge of this group, that would be the most helpful question to have answered.
So what we'll do with the railing, they'll be repairing some of the spalling on those the concrete end caps for the railing. And then with the railing, it's in pretty poor condition. They're going to remove it. They're going to sandblast it. They're going to even repair some of the bent elements and restore it to its original color.
You referenced the Secretary of the Interior standards as per bridges as opposed to buildings.
Correct.
And so since that's in there, I trust that that's what is guiding all the work. That's all you need to say.
Sure, that's what we're going to do. And I wanted to inform you and let the group know that that railing is, the paint is gone, but if you look on the piers, on the end caps, there is a green. If you were to go out to the trail, you can see that. We're going to try to match that as closely to the railing. And then there's just some miscellaneous concrete repairs to those girders that I discussed. That have that arch.
There's no statement with a packet that commits the city to doing it by Secretary of the Interior standards. All that data is in there, but there's no memo from the city that commits the city to doing that.
We will do that. I will give you my word. If I need to get something
Aaron, we need to get something in writing. I believe sure. we can talk and take action if we need to today on that.
Well, but I should stress that we can't require that.
Oh, I'm just saying.
This is not a landmark property.
Aaron, I'm not.
You can make that suggestion as an HPC that they do so, or if they make the statement in their presentation that they will, you can get their verification that they will. But just as a reminder, we, until you go through a process that actually designates the landmark, we could not make that requirement.
What I would like to do is go back and read through those, make sure before I send something to Aaron that there isn't something that would impact the project schedule related to some other agency review that could delay the project. We don't want that to occur. This, like I said, the bridge is functionally obsolete. We intend to make the repairs to not only the historic elements, but the other items. I'll read through that. I want to make sure there's not some additional route we have to go, because sometimes we get tied up in other agency things that really aren't necessary.
And we're respectful of that. And again, I'm sorry this didn't come to us like 2 or 3 months ago.
Well, I can tell you why it didn't. We've been working with one of the repair methods not related to historic elements. Hasn't been used in the state before. It's been used extensively in Oregon. It relates to the icing issue, from the salt and the rusting issues that have occurred. So they have a repair technique. We vetted it out with MnDOT's bridge office. A lot of discussions with Oregon DOT, MnDOT, because they're going to oversee this project.
So they use it in their more mountainous regions.
Yeah. And so it took us, we just worked through that in the last month or so to get that approval. So, and now we're working on the plans to get up for that bonding.
But something that was confusing to me going through it, and I don't know about the rest of the commission, was it seemed as though preservation cost all this money and there was really no rehab based on some of the line items. So that got a little confusing to me.
Except when you start looking at the photographs and you can see that it needs
I know, but based on the way they numbered it, it was like maintenance was $3,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's, indeed, the rehab, okay.
Yeah. Actually, we now have, as we work through the plans and the final...
Maybe a different meaning of preservation in their mind, right?
Yeah. It's just, I would chart it differently the next time.
The estimated construction cost right now is $1.06 million. Mm-hmm. And that's just for preservation, rehabilitation.
But the rehabilitation is necessary, whether it's... I mean, you don't break out preservation cost 10% more or anything like that.
We do not.
Okay, I have a question. Would it benefit the bonding process if the city had requested that this move forward as a landmark?
I guess I can't answer that question.
I mean, that's another question I would ask you to consider.
Not within the state bonding process, it would have no impact.
What helps us in this case is, and I've been working with the state bridge office, when you do have a historic bridge, they can kind of leapfrog others because of that. That helps.
So the MnDOT classification as an historic bridge is all you need?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, thoughts?
So MnDOT determines this is historical?
No. They hired a consultant that you can see did the study, and based on
it was on
the vintage, different elements.
I see that.
But we still would have to determine if it's historical in the future.
Right? That's what I'm...
Right now it's on the potential list.
Right.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing from Aaron and what I'm hearing from the applicant in this case is they're not asking us to do anything other than have commented on this.
We've identified this as an historic bridge since this study occurred. We've been moving forward with the project as an historic bridge before it was even listed on that potential list of properties. We received that letter in January.
So, I mean, a side note, and this doesn't determine the commission would do this, is my opinion is the data that's present in this packet from MnDOT and other places would satisfy our requirements to forward for local landmark designation.
I think that we won't want that process to hold up their process to do the repairs, though, right?
Doesn't sound like it would.
So we're going to have to approve anything today.
Right. What I would say is that if you're interested in making this a landmark, let's identify that later in our conversation. Mm-hmm. We'll prioritize it all on that list, and then we'll deal with it that way. But there's no need to make that decision just based off this. I mean,
we can do that with our ranking later. This can be thank you for doing the right thing for the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, if basically what happens in these situations is if, in this case, the city would have came forward and said, we're basically removing all these historic elements and we're just putting up a standard bridge there, that's when the HPC would probably have some comment about whether you feel that's acceptable or not. And if it's not, that's where we would then probably move the process to. We would like this to be designated as a landmark so that we can implement some controls, that sort of thing. But in this case, because what they're doing is meeting what the HPC's objectives are, really there's no comment needed. And once we talk about prioritizing, we can add this to the list.
And they haven't challenged the listing. And they've now given us a packet of information.
Yep. So
the only request that I think it would be reasonable for the HPC to make would be that if in this process of bonding and such there is any change and the intent would not be to meet Secretary of the Interior standards, that we would immediately be notified and would, again, have a review.
Can we have that as a motion?
Or? Well, no, that's part of our ordinance already.
It's part of our ordinance, so it's simply an informational.
Okay.
This is an informational conversation. It's not by motion. It's an understanding that that would be the next step if that's needed.
If their plans substantially change that would affect the historic elements, they have to come back for review.
Yeah. Okay. Which is something you needed to know.
Thank you.
So how does the city come to the conclusion they're going to maintain the historical integrity? Is that it's functionally fine, it meets all the standards, and you're just respecting that it's listed, so to stay with that?
A little bit of that process?
It's a lower cost than replacing.
Knowing that putting a little bit into it now, we can really extend
the life.
You know, if we get 20 to 25 years, that's almost a third of the service
and
life
it's not
of
like
a brand new bridge, and we can do it for a fifth of the cost.
And why do you say 20 to 25? I thought that
that's
was a remarkably short time period.
Not for what we're doing here for these repairs.
Okay,
the bridge is already 60 years old.
Okay,
so it's getting near. You know, by the end of that, it's already near the end of its useful service life. So if we can get 20 plus years out of it, that's our goal.
But it meets your standards. You're not sacrificing any functionality because of the
structural piece. We're improving it.
Good.
Thank you. Are there any other questions before we, Aaron, do we simply close the discussion?
Not much you need to do. You can move on to the next agenda.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Thanks,
Dylan.
Can I have a card, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll go grab one.
All right. The bridge number is 89188.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. Okay, the next item is PVN request, the rolling fund assistance work order. And I think this is where I have some inserts about brief PVN updates, but I think I'll do these after we've gone through the revolving fund work order and look to Aaron to give an update on this, because he's the one that's been tracking this and communicating with PVN.
Right. We've got a draft that we've had for a while of a revolving loan fund policy. We've got some facade easements, things like that. We've waited to finalize until we had PVN on board, our consultant on board. We're now going to have them review that, identify any shortcomings that might be in our policy within our easements or, you know, kind of our loan documents, that sort of thing. They'll come back then with the recommended templates for us to start using, and then we can go ahead and hopefully get those adopted, because one of the things that we have to stress is that with the HPC ordinance, it's not just all about restrictions. We also want to offer incentives, and one of the largest incentives that we can offer is financial, and so this will allow us to start doing that for our landmark properties, and hopefully we can start going through our potential landmark list and start going through the review process and things. We'll get more property owners interested in voluntarily having their property reviewed if they know that there is this financial incentive available. So I would stress that I would recommend approving this so we can keep this process moving so we can get it put in place as soon as possible.
Aaron, there's no time frame. They don't tell us when they're going to deliver this. I didn't see anything. I apologize.
Yeah,
I
think, I don't remember what the general conversation was, but I think we should probably have something, if not for our June meeting, to review for sure for July.
But I'd like that in writing in the work order as opposed to...
Well, we'll actually have a signed contract from them. It looks basically the same thing, but would have a time thing. But I can get a time thing on it. I just don't remember what they had stated, but I believe it was something like that. 30 days.
Yeah.
Oh. Aaron, as we look at these two, how much money do we have earmarked for this year for this type of work?
$30,000.
Okay.
And how much we approved work order number one, which was how much?
Which is for the Carlton?
Nope, that was for the first 6 weeks.
That's for the 6 weeks.
Sort of process.
Week.
I'll get some data on that at some point here. That was for $3,930. So between that one and then this one, you know, we're roughly at about $8,000 approved so far, or $9,000.
$9,000.
Yep, $9,000.
And we've got They're doing some work on the Hotel Carlton.
That was just, it'll be like, we'll talk about that when it comes up. It's basically just a per hour basis, so you can have some cost cover.
Okay, so 30,000 this year, right?
So far.
And it's possible that
can we get more?
We'll talk about that definitely when we come to the
okay.
next item.
Does everyone understand what a revolving loan fund is?
I wouldn't mind an explanation.
Yeah, me neither, so I'm a new guy. I'll speak
up. Yeah, only our second meeting.
Well, and Aaron, if you could tell me what the process is.
When I sent you guys Welcome to the HBC in 5,000 pages,
yeah.
one of those...
And did you read that?
Oh, that was one of the documents was our draft, Arla. But I can resend it to you. But basically what the concept is right now is that we still are waiting for council approval officially on this, but we're waiting for to finalize our documents first before we do that. But the council is tentatively earmarked $400,000 for the fund. And basically, to access this fund, you have to be a landmark property to do so. Our current program talks about kind of a graded scale of so much loan, so much grant, so much owner equity into the project. And that's something that PBN is going to review and try to give us the best practices on what is the best way to structure those that split.
And PBN has had a lot of experience with
this. Right. So basically, what we're going to be proposing is that if you're a landmark property and they want to do some sort of repair that's going to help maintain the historic nature of that property, we would like to assist with that and provide gap financing. We're not there to provide their sole source of financing, but if you have a unique building with a unique roofing structure and it would cost you X amount of dollars to put a regular roof on, it'll cost you X amount of dollars more to put on a historic roof, we'd like to help with that gap between regular and historic to help them encourage them to do so. And that's where we've come in with some sort of combination of loan grant and their equity to do that work. So,
and the HPC will need criteria to be able to make those judgments.
Right,
and
that's
what come to the HPC to determine what is, you know, what is allocated over, you know, the revolving loan.
Right, and we have no idea if that's enough or not. I mean, obviously, if it's a large project, that doesn't go very far. But at the same time, we only have 13 designated properties right now, and a number of those properties really would not be applying based on who owns them. So, you know, but as our list grows, especially as we see some of the ones on our potential landmark list that want to be landmark properties, the reason a lot of them want to be landmark is because they do want to preserve their property, but they can't afford to do some of that work, so they want some assistance. So we will start seeing that.
It's an outright assistance, not a loan.
It is a loan.
It's a
loan. It would be a combination of loan and grant.
Okay, so then it would be a combination of loan and grant. How much is the grant?
Well, so... Our draft right now has, you know, has some split to it. Like, depending on how much owner equity goes in, it might be a 90% loan, 10% grant.
Okay.
Less, more. It could split 50-50. It could be any way. It's fairly wide open in our policy. But that was one of the things that we were just guessing. Yeah. And that's why we're hoping we can get some
We just
more
pulled
direction.
It from some other cities.
Right.
What are you doing?
But so we're hoping to get some direction. But the idea is that it won't be outright grants. It'll be a combination of loans and grants. And then, of course, the owner having some contribution.
Is that $400,000 fund the source for both loans and grants?
It is the source right now until we see how that goes and the council decides otherwise. And I should mention the council has not officially approved that yet. They've tentatively offered support, but they want to see the final product before they approve it.
So I think the point is more details are needed and details that we know we can support. Mm-hmm.
But your analogy of the gap between a historic roof and a regular roof, that grant money would fill that gap, you're
right,
thinking?
Right, that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to be the gap. We're not trying to finance the whole project, but we want to be there to help get them over to where they need to be to make sure they maintain that historic integrity.
Gary had a question. I apologize.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, not only in this case, but basically for all of our work orders with PBN, I would like there to be a timeline in it about when they expect these things to be accomplished. Because they project the number of hours, but you can't tell how they're going to assign staff or how quickly. Is it going to be 3 years? Is it going to be a week? I mean, what are they talking about?
I will make sure they always include timeline.
Okay.
Because it helps looking at the budget to know what the timeline is.
Right, so I would like to be part of the approval. If we're going to approve this, I would like to be part of the motion of approval.
Are we ready?
That's a good point.
Talked at length. Are we ready for a motion and a second, or would people like to talk further before that occurs?
I'd like to make a motion to approve this.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion made by Karen, second made by Brent. Any discussion?
Trent.
I'm sorry. The Brent okay. Trent, and yours. Don't sit next to each other.
I would like to say the same timeline because it's not in the current document, so I would like it to say that we're moving it with the
motion
of
amended.
The timeline.
Yep.
Okay. So any other discussion?
We amended that motion.
Baron Hop, okay, that isn't actually technically Robert's rules, but we'll let that pass. any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, carries unanimously. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I shouldn't have to count again, right? I should remember that. thank you. Before we go on to the second thing, I'd like to also comment that at the last meeting, we approved the PBN's work order one, which was for that 6-week service. And we haven't gotten any updates. We didn't, you know, theoretically, there was a time frame in that 6 weeks, which that was like 4 weeks ago. So, Aaron, do we have any update on that?
Yep. So they are kind of ready to go. So what's going to happen is they're going to kind of send out this. They're going to send out an email to the HBC. They're going to set up an in-person time sometime in the next few weeks in Rochester where they're going to be in town. We'll post it as a HBC kind of, you know, special meeting or whatever, but they're going to invite who can attend, and then if you can't attend, they're going to talk to you individually. But they're going to try to do what's laid out in there as far as just meeting with you, identifying some early goals, things like that. So they're going to kick it off. I think their timing was probably early June. That second weekish, somewhere in there, is their goal. So they're going to be reaching out.
So they haven't begun. So we might have the 6-week report at our July meeting.
I hope so. That's the goal. Yep.
Okay. I would request that happen.
Yep. That's the goal.
Okay. All right. Before we move on to the second part of the PBN's other work order, I'd just like to comment. We identified PBN taking a look at the tall building zone and, as we'll talk in a few minutes, in the potential historic district. And I just need to kind of give an update. We also asked them to look at the comprehensive plan. Just for commission members to be aware of this, the comprehensive plan, is everyone aware that that's being updated or what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. And the comprehensive plan is as issued volume one of a 3-volume series, which is basically an overview of what is intended to accomplish. And I called Jeff Ellerbush on that to get an update. That heritage preservation is in the first issuance. It's an item at the end, and it's essentially 2 paragraphs. And Jeff commented that that was a placeholder they put in there. They have not had anyone expert in heritage preservation and how to integrate it within a comp plan, which is why we brought it up as one of the priorities for PBN. So somehow or another, we're going to need to track that, or the comp plan is going to be updated as we're trying to get legs to do this well without having heritage preservation represented in there, which would be kind of silly. So Jeff is aware that, you know, we're working with PBN and that we're hoping to move forward, and Aaron, I would ask that, I don't know that I'd ask them to do a work order now. I mean, what would make sense to me, and I'd like to hear from other commission members, is that PBN have a conversation with our planning staff, perhaps with you present, perhaps with a member of the HBC present, to talk about what this would entail and how to do it in the most efficient way possible. I mean, this has been done elsewhere. I don't think we need to create, you know, something that's completely different from other cities. So I'd like to know what is the simplest way to do this. So that's just, nothing's going on with PBN. They haven't really been asked to do it. I don't think, were they asked to do a comprehensive plan work order?
No.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, with the comp plan right now, I think it, just because it's such a big thing for planning to tackle, the idea was is that when PBN was coming down to do our first 6-week work,
is that
they were going to meet at that same time while they're here, kind of kill two birds sort of deal, and then meet with the planners on it and just discuss it quick so that the planning staff knows that as they go through and they start doing historic preservation stuff, they're going to use PBN as a resource to make sure that they incorporate the things that we have done already into the plan somehow. So they're going to have that conversation when they're down here with planning staff.
Okay, and you'll keep us tracking on that, if that's happening. That would be great. Okay, Yes.
So I'm at those planning commission meetings, and this is kind of a working document, but my understanding is it's over 300 pages, and so it's continuing to change and update as it goes, so just so that you're aware of what kind of a beast they're creating.
But there's only two paragraphs on heritage preservation in there right now.
I'm just letting you know.
We're limited. We can only have one more page. Okay, and the other update is on the tall building zone, which Barry brought up. And just to let you know that as it stands right now, the design guidelines that are for the DMC district theoretically will be before City Council on June 5th. Is that right, Aaron?
That's the plan as far as I know right now.
And, you know, it had been indicated to the HPC that we would be able to have time to have conversations about the tall building zone, the potential heritage district, and individual buildings within it. But that hasn't happened. I had a brief conversation with Mark Bilderdijk, I saw him last week on something else, just to ask if it would, well, what we talked about is I did testify at Planning and Zoning Commission hearing on the design guidelines on, I think, on May 10th, commenting on some of the things that the HPC was interested in, because there are many potentially historic buildings and National Register buildings in that tall building zone. And I believe that one of the things that's been missed is that historic buildings, if they're retained, can be used within the design guidelines to accomplish some of the goals of view corridors, sunlight sharing, and control of wind. There are other things too. But for instance, if you have a two-story older building that's retained, and next to it you have tall buildings within the tall building zone, if you think about something, and I'm not saying this is how it would happen, there are things called air rights. And if that two-story building has air rights, those air rights could apply to another building in terms of its setback, its tower location requirements, and other things. So it's another potential benefit of heritage buildings that we haven't really identified in those design guidelines. And I'm hoping that that can happen rather than losing that opportunity at this point in time. So that will be the point of the testimony. I don't know what City Council will do with it, but just wished to make you aware of it. And I talked with Mark, and Mark thought that was reasonable as HPC chair to bring that up.
So just to clarify something, is it, Aaron, so we won't then be able to deal with the tall building zone prior to action by the City Council on that meeting?
There's been no referral back to HPC. The only comment that's been made to planning is that this is that we're going to be looking probably at a downtown historic district, and when that happens, that should be then, once that study is done, should be used to guide that tall building zone in the downtown core that's reviewed for the district.
What I tried to, I was at the meeting too, and I testified as a private citizen, not as a member of HPC. My point was that they should just show what the boundaries are of the where the tall building zone could be without going block by block and showing the specific buildings as being in the tall building zone, because some of these buildings, after our review, may wind up not being tall buildings. They're not now tall buildings. They may never be tall buildings. And to me, it was deceptive and wrong for the developers to have a false idea of what could be a tall building and what isn't. So I would rather just show that the whole area where the tall building could be, rather than going block by block and showing which buildings were tall and which weren't, which is what the current map shows. And unfortunately, the Planning Commission basically they couldn't agree on that, so they just kicked it to the council to do. But I was hoping we could weigh in on that and just say that we would like some clarification so that developers have the understanding that in fact some of these buildings may not be tall buildings. Because I don't think it's fair for a developer to think something will be tall when it's not, may not be. So I just wanted it just to show the outlines of where the tall buildings were rather than block by block. And that whole issue is coming up on the first meeting in
June 5th.
And I think the issue with that, and from the Planning Commission side, probably with the same conversation as the council, is that because we haven't done this downtown district study yet, we don't have anything that really does officially show which ones are contributing resources to the district.
Right, but they also don't, they're identifying block by block. They didn't have to identify those.
And that's, and that's what the conversation on Future Council too was that it's unfortunate because it took so long to get this ordinance adopted, we haven't had the ability yet.
Whatever document is approved by the city council to reflect reality, basically, rather than a false premise that those blocks, specific blocks, would be tall. That's all. I just wanted to reflect the truth, essentially.
And that's what will have to be brought up at the council hearing, and the council will have to decide what to do with it. I mean, they'll take the planning commission recommendation, they'll take any public input, and let's go from there. But, you know, once again, any of these buildings really that we're talking about right now, unless they're on the potential landmark list or the landmark list, do not have any protections on them at this time. Now, that's what the point of a downtown district is to identify the contributing resources that do require protection. And that's our next agenda item here, but unfortunately, we haven't gone through that part of the process yet. But, as you've seen with the Hotel Carlton, if a development project comes up that would potentially or would impact a property that maybe hasn't been formally identified yet, there's no reason that the HPC, the council, or honestly any member of the public can't nominate that property for review at that time. So it's not that our ordinance doesn't provide protection of these properties. If something comes up that is going to threaten them, somebody can start the process of that review, and I'm sure they will.
I would rather they don't even stop the development in those projects until they get clarification of what the real issues are with that block.
I think I need to ask the commission if they wish to talk more about this or move on. And I don't mean to shortchange it, but in terms of the tall building zone. Or if there are any comments that people wish to make who might need to
that. I don't know if we're in a position to even recommend something to the council at this point or not.
We haven't been asked to, so I don't...
We don't have to.
I'm not sure what the recommendation necessarily is, because I don't think we have the information necessarily either. So I think it's going to... The council's got to go forward and decide how they want to address it.
Okay. I'm sort of hoping you could take a stand.
I'm going to ask Mark Gilbert if he wishes to comment anyway, because he is our city council person who is present at this meeting and has been present for new members at virtually every HBC meeting, which is quite a commitment on his part.
I have no comment.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you for the conversation on this. If we could, now let's move on to PC, PDN Downtown Historic District Work Order. And I'd just like to introduce this to people, especially new members. City Council specifically asked the HPC to look at buildings within a potential sub-district. It would seem that there could be an interim report supporting potential contributors before the final designation document. I have some questions about the magnitude of this review and how it's proposed, and the fact that there is no sort of interim saying, this seems like a potential historic district, and maybe these are the most significant buildings. It goes all the way to a landmark designation, which I don't necessarily believe is what we were asking for, given City Council's first charge to us. So I hope in talking, Aaron, and I don't know what conversations you've had with PBN, that we could figure out how to narrow the scope to support our ordinance, which basically calls for us to facilitate preservation of Rochester's heritage and to comply with council's guidance to give them some guidance on a potential district.
I was hoping that we could, because the way the proposal...
Barry, I'm going to let Aaron give us an overview now.
Basically, I think the council direction really was that they would like to see the downtown district process started, and that's what this is. So the guidelines the guidelines basically given to PBN where, if you remember way back when, end of last year, whatever it was, we had that proposed downtown district, and I think there was 30-some properties identified as potential contributors. I can't remember the exact number. That list was provided to PDN and said, this is our starting point. This has been identified by a number of different sources as the probable contributors to a downtown district. Use this as your basis. Clearly, while you're here evaluating those properties, if you see something we've missed, add them to that. But they know that general scope is those
Was it
and
30
Barry, this
properties?
Is on the chart. There, I think there were 24 remaining or 20.
Is that what it is?
Because two of them, the Rosie five. Bell being demolished, took two buildings out.
That could be. And but there was 20, okay, so 20, almost 30 properties were on this list of potentially contributors to downtown district. They were provided that list as a general
plus
guide.
Plus the six additional buildings that were on the potential list individually.
Right, they're already, they're so yeah, that's where we get to the 30, whatever.
Okay.
So that number for real property. So they know that number. They base their cost estimate off of, we're going to review for sure these buildings, and while we're here, we're also going to take a look at anything that we see that we think you have left off your list that we should evaluate as well. So that's where they came up with their kind of framework of what they should be reviewing. And, you know, to be honest, I think this is what the council is asking for, is we need to identify, are we doing it, are there, what properties are eligible for a landmark district in the downtown area, and what does that then mean? If we establish this district, because then they do go on to even include a supplement to talk about design guidelines. Now, that's probably more than the council direction on that, but I think that that would be something that would be then considered as part of our DNC guidelines that are being adopted, that once we get this done, we're going to want to look at possibly updating those DNC guidelines with recommendations from PBN on how to deal with this downtown district. So, honestly, I think this is really what the council is asking for. Now, obviously, it's a big number that is way more than our budget. So what I would say is that if the HPC is agreeable with this, one, we should recommend approval right away, requesting that the council provide funding for this outside of our budget, as this is something they have requested. And at the same time, this is, you know, districts are not small tasks. And this district will be created in a high-pressure development area. So you want to make sure that we have done a very thorough job in reviewing all the properties and establishing the district and establishing potentially any guidelines that go along with that. So to me, I think it's a reasonable proposal based on some of the other expenses the city has seen in doing the DMC design guidelines and other work related to that. So what I would say is if you're good with this, you'd recommend approval to the council with a funding source not coming from the HPC and let them identify where that is, and I'll have ideas for them. But identify that funding source, and if they feel it's important enough, then they'll move it forward, and they'll fund it, and they'll get it going.
And Aaron, again, there's no time frame here.
Right.
And indeed, I understand what you're saying about the complexity, mm-hmm. but given the depth that they're going to, there should be some interim reporting periods at which we get updates on what they're finding out and what the conclusions are.
Total duration.
Yeah.
So I'll request them a schedule, including some, you know, midpoint or whatever, quarter point updates to the,
that would make
to
sense.
The HPC.
Yeah.
On this. I'll get that as clarification to include with it. Yes.
It would just be a duration schedule.
Yep.
Basically, council for funds.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, I agree with what Adam said, but I'm just curious, did the consultant give an idea of how much time it would take so far?
This will take a number of months, and they'd like to get going on it as soon as possible. My guess would be is it could be a 90-day to 120-day process.
So if you take 399 hours, which is what they're saying, mm-hmm. and divide that by 40 hours a week, you're talking 10 weeks almost. That's one person, right?
One person.
Right, and this would be split among a number.
Right, exactly. So that's just a ballpark, though.
Yeah,
if you can push them, maybe you can say 2 months.
I would say what we're looking for is 2 months. And, I mean, they may say that's unreasonable.
Let's
start there.
Okay. And you don't know if that person's going to work full-time on the
right.
project.
Right.
That's not for us to say. But what we're looking
like
for is 2 months, and we're looking for updates, you know, every 2 weeks, because this is a priority.
Every 2 weeks or once a month?
If it's 2 months. You want just one update?
Can we just request one like 1 week before our meeting or something?
But the update can come by email?
Yeah, we can have an update, he pointed out, at our next couple of meetings.
It's like if they report 1 week before.
It makes sense if it's going to take 3 months.
They have to give us that a week prior to the next HPC.
The next HPC, yeah.
It could be tied to our schedule.
Okay.
Got it.
All right, any further conversation or do I have a motion in a second?
So moved.
Second. What are you moving?
What is the motion?
Motion as we discussed with what they gave us, along with the updates a week before our meetings for the timeline.
With funding from a source other than the HPC?
Correct.
There we go.
I can second that. If that was your motion.
That's perfect.
Timeline, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 9, unanimous. Thank you. It is now 5:06. So, we're going to need to... Well, that's the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 5D, Petsky House Demolition Permit Application Review. Aaron, can we really hold this to 10 minutes?
Yeah, good luck. I was trying to be as creative as I could with some of this, but we'll see.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to this one.
Well, it's up to you guys, to be honest. Do you want me to give a quick...
Yeah, I will try.
I mean, obviously I included...
You get 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully you read it. I included a lot of information in there.
Every word.
This was one of the early tests of our old HPC ordinance. I shouldn't say one of the early, but it was one of our few tests. The Chardonnay was another one, and but a few more. But this is really the only holdover from that old ordinance now. So as you saw from the minutes in the history, there was actually 2 houses to be moved. There's a lot of deliberation about those houses. There's a lot of deliberation about are they truly historic or not under the old ordinance. You saw the 106 group report that said they were not. The HBC and the council did not agree with that report, which is where that under the old ordinance they were identified as potentially historic. This property was identified as a potentially historic building. The general agreement was we're going to move this building to a different site. We're going to turn it into a triplex. We'll renovate it. We'll turn it into a triplex, and we'll rent it out. As you can see by the report submitted by the property owner, which is buried in here somewhere, that what they are saying is that when the property was moved and they opened it up to begin the renovation process, they came across a number of items that were not known and could not have been known until the walls were open and they had more access to it. And with that, they've identified that there will be a substantial amount of cost required for them to renovate the property for any sort of use. One of the issues identified as well is that they will have to lose the whole third level to do that renovation because that's what's required to stabilize the property, stabilize the walls, those sort of things. So it would turn it from a triplex to a duplex. And I think the basics that they're trying to say is that they're already almost $300,000 into the property, what they've invested so far between the work they've done and the acquiring of a lot to put it on. And that they would have to do another $604,000 in renovation work, which is $140,000 more than what they had originally anticipated. Plus, they lose that rental area of a third unit, I guess you could say. And so their argument is that with all those things combined, that it is not economically feasible for them to renovate this building anymore. They'd like to demolish it. As an alternative, they're willing to give it to the city for $1. We can move it wherever we want to. I can stress that the city has assumedly no interest in that for probably the same reasons stated here. But as we look at this, this is under the old ordinance. Basically, they've already gone through the public hearing process. This has been designated as a potentially historic site. That part's done. We're not revisiting is this historic or not anymore. That's a decision that was made. It is potentially historic under the old ordinance. But as the owner states, and then as it shows in the ordinance that I also attached, is that as part of that review of a demolition permit, one of the things that does go into account is that economic feasibility. Now, our new ordinance does that as well. They just detail it out with much more steps and all these other things that build a landmark property. But what they're asking for is the approval of the demolition recommendation. This is a recommendation only, but it's a recommendation to the council to approve the demolition permit based on the economic feasibility issue that has been identified now. Now, one of the issues that has been brought up is that the building has basically sat on the site for roughly 3 years now with no real work being done to it. And, the demolition by neglect, something that was not addressed in our old ordinance but is addressed in our new ordinance, does that come into play? Now, what they're saying is that these items that they've identified that added this cost has nothing to do with water intrusion or things that have happened over the last 3 years. This they found out about the day they moved it, got on a new foundation, opened it up. That's when they found out. This is not something that has been caused by demolition by neglect. Now, I can't comment on if the past 3 years of staying open to the weather has not caused additional damage that would require further work. That's not addressed, and I can't address that. But what they're saying is the underlying issue of this extra $400,000 in work that they would have to do is not something based on demolition by neglect. It's based on something they found that was unknown to them when they opened it up originally.
Did the old ordinance have demolition by neglect?
It did not. That was not something that we had addressed in that ordinance. I can mention that our building safety director is here. He has reviewed it. And basically to summarize, and we can ask Randy more information, is that he does concur that what their analysis is saying is true.
Let's have Randy speak.
These are all these things. Yeah. So,
if you folks, Randy in. Johnson is head of building and safety.
No comment.
Okay, I have no power. I have no power.
Oh, shit, I want to get out of
here. You made a good impression.
No, the information that was in that report from CRW did look valid, and I did not have any issues with that. When they opened up to remove the plaster, they did discover some structural issues that needed to be resolved, and which basically makes that third floor be not usable.
It can't be occupied.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they needed to provide some bracing across and some additional bearing
walls. So they lose space.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that was discovered shortly after they moved the building, and then they gutted the inside of that to remodel it. So.
So that was discovered, but then they went ahead and gutted.
Well, they gutted it because they removed the plaster. They didn't want to remove the plaster before they moved the building, because you want the building to stay.
In terms of stability, that gave you diaphragms. Okay.
So have you been in there several times?
I have not been in there.
What, your staff?
Our staff has been in there.
How, like, two or three has times. It been getting worse over time? Like, has your staff presented reports that would show that it's gotten worse over time? Or has it been sort of like the same right up from the beginning?
Our inspections for site observations were at the time that they opened it up, right after they opened it up. We met with the owner and the architect and the structural engineer and discovered those issues that were there. So we have not been out there in the last year and a half.
Randy, would it have made any difference if it were reviewed under the Conservation Code Historic Buildings?
No, this is a structural issue.
Yeah.
The walls are falling out.
Right? Yeah.
But
is part of that because plaster was removed, or? They were bowing out before plaster.
They were bowing out before, but they discovered that there was a
new wall. You're talking about the exterior brick walls were bowing out.
The wood framed walls.
Okay.
Now, do you think the move in itself has something to do with some of this deterioration?
Oh, excuse me. You can't.
Oh, I can't.
No, it's not a public hearing. We're directing questions, but
okay.
You may ask afterwards.
I'll ask for you, though, because I was thinking the same thing. From your guys' knowledge, do you think that moving the building affected the structure of it?
No.
So if it would have stayed in place, that could have been discovered.
It would have been an existing building with plaster walls, and it was...
Right, so in place, before they moved it, if they had done any sort of demolition, they would have found the same structural issues, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
They would.
Do you think the building basically is so far gone that they found on your department's review that it has to be demolished?
I can't make that comment.
He really meant that.
But how far has the building deteriorated further?
I
he does not know.
I've been in those buildings long. I mean, you know, I sell real estate, so I was in a lot of those buildings on West Center. I owned the property right across the street from that at one time. That building was in really rough shape when it was for sale, just on the open market. So those bowing walls, brick.
How far back was that now?
Pardon?
How far back was that?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it was in. And then other properties down the road to the Zervas property and some of those, because I sold some of those, and inspectors found lots of things that needed corrections and things. So you end up with a $1.2 million duplex, which there's really no market for.
Okay, and I don't mean to throw out a red herring.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is a preservation architect hasn't assessed that building.
Yeah.
Somebody that's qualified by Secretary of Interior standards for looking at something like this and determining how it may be worked with because it is an historic property. I don't know the significance of that comment.
I'm also slightly worried about the fact that an agreement was made with the city on this property that, for whatever reasons, is not being followed through on. you know, it kind of makes me think of some of the things we've talked about today already, like the bridge. You know, we're making an agreement on something, assuming it's going to be followed through on.
But wasn't the intention, if we're going to do something based on the fact that the building was maybe in good shape or didn't have old walls, and then they open it up, it's like kind of buying a car. You buy a classic Mustang, and you find out the motor's completely shot, and that's 90% of the value of the car was the matching numbers. And
yeah.
I'm a car guy, and we have one sitting here who can help me with an analogy. But you buy something, and you think it's worth it, and then you open it up, and like, well, I can't do anything with this. I paid $10,000 for something that's not worth $100.
But why didn't it come back to the HPC at that point in time?
I don't know. I'm not them.
Why so yeah. many years later? When they first did this.
Did they not have a...
Well, they only knew it.
Not to mention the fact that they probably were aware of the structural issues in its original location.
But if they were, then wouldn't they have went through the process and just said it's not worth doing anything, it's structurally unsound? I mean, we're making suppositions on behalf of people who aren't
great. The only thing you can do is base... what was submitted by the applicant for the demolition permit. I mean, I can't speak on their behalf. Nobody else can speak on their behalf in this situation as far as, you know, why didn't they come forward sooner? Did they know about this or not? I mean, you're basically basing your review off their submitted documentation. And so as you make this decision, really it comes down to, do you trust and believe what they're saying or not? Do you require more information? What does that mean? What do you want? We need to be specific if there is, you know, those sort of things.
Based on economic hardship, that's what we're really supposed to be focusing on right now?
Well, I mean, basically what you're looking at is what the ordinance says is that the state repair condition and quality construction of a structure recommended, blah, 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 is economically feasible. So back when this was done and it was approved to be moved, it was approved as being economically feasible. What they're coming back with now is that economic feasibility has changed. Like I said, we're not debating the historic nature of the building necessarily. What has changed in their new request for demolition now is that economic feasibility. So again, this will come up no matter what ordinance we're working under. Yeah. You're going to get a set of information, and you're going to have to decide if you believe it or not. And does this make sense?
I'm going to make a comment, though. The timing on this I find profoundly troubling. And that, you know, if they had this in 2014 when they moved it, why wasn't this brought up at that point in time? I'm saying as an HPC member, I find that troubling. I'm not asking for an answer. I just think that's part of this conversation.
But is that when they found it out? Was in 14 they knew that they had an issue? Or was it a year and a half ago I heard or something?
It's my understanding it was
right after 2014.
So that process of moving, because I don't, they haven't read enough of it. Did they use public funds? So they've spent all their own private money at this point.
Right.
So I think part of the discussion too is, which somebody mentioned, I can't remember who, but they're not doing what they said they were going to do. But what they said they were going to do was under the understanding that the city would approve a triplex. So if the city went in there and said, based on the condition of the home, we are no longer going to allow you to do it because you have to support the property and it takes away one entire floor for you, it kind of changes everything. I understand, maybe it was you since you're nodding.
It was me.
So I understand what you're saying, but in all of these discussions, it kind of rubs me the wrong way when we say they have to do what they said they were going to do, but our city is the one that's telling them you aren't allowed to do it. You have to change everything you propose.
Well, building codes, really.
For building codes.
City.
Yeah, building
our
codes.
Our city did not.
Yeah.
Building codes.
Did not require them. It's their structural engineer that came up with those recommendations.
Right. Which are based on codes.
Yes.
Yeah. And there is definitely new discovery that they found,
right.
And they did it with their own money.
Yeah.
It's noteworthy.
Well, we have the city verifying they seem to be valid. Concerns.
Yeah, exactly. To follow that up.
I personally would like to suggest that we have staff get an independent person to evaluate the building. Whatever happened in the past, we still have to see what the current situation is and whether or not the building is feasible and it could still be maintained. And so I do think we need to hire someone to do that and then have a public hearing after we get the results of that. That's what I would recommend.
What exactly are you asking them to evaluate? We've already been told by our city staff that from a...
whether or not the building is basically unsafe and has to be demolished because it's unusable.
I don't think that's what they're saying. I think they're saying that they can't do a third floor on it, which makes it economically...
The city's already said that they understand it has to go to two, right? You, that's understood. Two units is the best they could do.
Is that what you're saying?
We're not limiting the...
Their structural engineer has recommended to them that they brace the third floor to adequately brace the building, eliminating the possibility of using the third floor for occupancy. That is what their structural engineer has recommended.
So when you talk about economic feasibility, what you're saying is I think was mentioned by somebody else, is investing $900,000 into a duplex based on that economic return is where they're bringing up, that's why it's not economically feasible. Now, can you fix the building? Clearly you can. It's detailed here. You could fix it.
Money
but is
all
it really economically feasible for somebody to invest that money into that building?
So we can hire somebody to give us an independent point of view, because I don't think we really are.
You mean a preservation architect.
Right.
But I'm still confused about what they're going to tell us that's different.
Well, there goes your whole gap fund, all of it.
But like I said, I just want to make sure that if you're going to further studies, what is it that you're going to... I mean, we know what code requires. They're admitting what the code requires here. Our building safety director is confirming what's required to stabilize this building. So then it turns into, so what are you asking a consultant to look at? Are you going to ask them to say that if you invest $900,000 into this building, can you get some sort of economic return out of it?
Right.
Because
the building is already designated as historic. So in order to knock it down...
Potential.
In order to knock it down, we have to show that it's not economically feasible to sort of rehab it. That's really good. And if it is economically feasible to rehab it, and they have resources to do it, then they probably should do it.
Okay.
If it's landmark, though, and right now it's potential.
Well, this is old ordinance. We're under the old ordinance. There's no landmark. This is the only designation under the old ordinance.
Oh.
So.
I have another question, and we're going to have to wrap this up. The options are they offer it to the city for $1 and the city moves it, or there's a demolition permit which they would like approved. What about the third option of having other parties look at it and decide if they would do something with that building on that site?
Yes. So once again, we are overstepping what... you know, our role really here is. I mean, if as the property owner, they want to sell it, that is up to them to be marketing and selling it, but that is not something as an HBC or city we can recommend, require, anything like that. I mean, our purview is basically they are requesting a demolition permit for this building based on the reasons they cited in their submittal to the HBC. If the HBC feels like they need more information, then we should identify what that specific information is. If they want input and questions answered, then while it's not required, you can look at having a public hearing on it to receive input from others involved. Or if you feel like the information that's been provided makes the case that this building needs to be demolished, then you recommend. Or if you feel that it doesn't make the case and you don't need any more information, then you recommend to the council that they don't approve the demolition permit and that it stands as is.
Aaron, I would actually disagree, and that is because of the resolution and because of the way this was acted upon, we're not, the owner is now saying they can't do what they proposed, therefore that resolution can't be met. But the HPC identified this as a potential landmark. So as stewards of potential landmarks, the notion of requesting that information be provided, that it be opened up to other people to consider doing something with it, that I think could be a recommendation we could make. Because that's, without that data, I don't think we fully, it should, I don't think the only option should be to sell it to the city and move it.
You can ask, if you would like to get more information from the owner, you can ask them that they offer it to sale for everyone, but as an HBC and as a city, we cannot request that they offer to sale to anyone else. We cannot make that.
Yeah, and I understand that.
Now, if you want to ask them if they've done so, that is something that you could do in a public hearing, but that's not something as HBC you can request that they do. Basically, if you want to know if they've done it or not, you have to ask them that question, but it's not something that we can ask them to do.
can we recommend that we review it, since there wasn't a landmark designation under the old ordinance, can we recommend that we look at it again and under the new ordinance, or would that be?
I mean, I got to close the first case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we can't try a second. We can't try it for a second crime. We haven't finished the first.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, I actually wonder if we, if the HPC missed something, that this should have been added to the consent list that went before council in February. But again, that's water.
Well, it probably wouldn't have been though, because 106 didn't necessarily consider it historical, right?
But the HPC, and again, it is historic because the HPC vote, potentially historic. The HPC voted it.
So what I should note is that the two properties, I think it's only two, I hope, that were identified as potentially historic under the old ordinance were the Hotel Carlton and this. Those two were not added to the new ordinance because they're governed by the old ordinance. Mm-hmm. So that's why this one, it wasn't added to our potential list because it's already identified and governed underneath our old ordinance.
Okay.
That's why.
So they intentionally just left it off their consideration with the new,
because it's already governed underneath this old ordinance. Right. Now, it doesn't mean that as you work through this process and if whatever something happens, and it couldn't, if it gets removed for some reason or something, you know, it couldn't be considered or anything new at some point. But right now, we do have it's an open situation under our old ordinance, and I hope it's the last one that's open. I'm not aware of any others, but again,
if you know of any others, don't tell us.
So, you know, again, these are going to be, you know, kind of the, there's not the black and white with these situations, and it's going to be up to the HPC to review the information that's provided to them and make a decision. And like I stated, if you don't feel like you have enough information, you can gather more. And there's, you know, multiple ways to do that, whether identifying specifically what you want, if you'd like to turn it into a public hearing, so you can allow input, because I have concerns if we allow just the people that showed up today to speak, because there may be others that have information if they knew what the hearing would like to come. And that way it's open to all. So the HPC will give everyone that has information they wish to submit able to do so now, but you don't have to do that. I mean, like I said, if you feel you have enough information to make a vote one way or the other now, then you should make that vote based on, well, you know, what you
feel. Could we have PVN look at it?
You
look at the property?
You can, but again, the question comes down to, are you, what specifically are they looking for? Are you asking them to determine if it's economically feasible to invest $900,000 into this building for some semblance of return? I mean, I think, well, I mean, you know, yes, you could ask them that. I mean, what?
I don't know what we can from that.
Yeah. I don't know what you would either. I mean, they're obviously going to say that a duplex is not going to repay $900,000 on a property. They're not going to. We're not going to tell you that you can sell it for that much money.
And we still have the car.
So I'm not sure what you gained, but you can do that. There's no issue with that. That is what they're here for as a consultant. If you think that they're going to provide you with additional information on that economic feasibility topic.
Is there a deadline in approving this?
As always, there's this. So as we'll talk about at some point here, maybe there's always. For any sort of applications that are zoning-related, building-related, whatever, it's called the 60-day rule, which means that a city has to make a decision within 60 days. We can extend it up to 120 on our own, and then anything above that, we have to have the applicant's agreement to extend it any further. So in this case, I believe the application was submitted. We're not even 60 days in. We're not 30 days in yet even. Early May, the demolition permit was submitted. So we have sufficient time to... address this even at our next meeting again, and at that point, if we can't make a decision, we would have to extend the period to another 60 days to give us more time.
So let me see, what's the will of the commission? Any sort of consensus?
I'd say, because I would love to get open information and ask them if they've considered selling it to other parties, so I'd like to have a public hearing if at all possible.
But if they said yes or no, what difference is that going to make?
We can't identify what would happen in a public hearing. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah. No. I'm saying, what would the answer to that question do to help you?
Well, if they've offered it out, there's no takers on it, then that would potentially influence that maybe they've explored all options here.
And if they said no, then what are you going to do? I mean, I'm trying to understand what the point is.
Well, we would hear from other people, you know, that we might have a different set of facts and a different point of view on what could be done with the building.
Yeah, but they don't have the money to fix it.
No, I know it's not up to us, but it is up to us what happens to the building. So.
But it's not up to us to tell those people what to do with this. It's to answer their request.
I still think I'd rather have a public hearing on something.
Yeah, just cover our bases here. Just in case.
I mean, we may not hear anything new, but rather than just approve a demolition, especially given the controversy behind this, I think the safer thing to do is have a public hearing.
Aaron, this group would be giving a recommendation to the council, and the council would still be having a public hearing. Is that true?
No, there's no public hearing requirements in the old ordinance for the demolition permit. The public hearing process was done when you determined if it was potentially historic or not. Mm.
So if somebody feels strongly right now one way or the other, they can make a motion?
Of course. That's always on the floor.
Just letting you all know that, because I know some of you are new.
That's what you were doing.
I guess I'm just kind of looking here at some of this documentation, and some of the conclusions here back from 2014.
Folks, I need to ask if we can have an extra 10 minutes of your time at 6:30.
I can commit to it.
Okay.
I know someone had a hard stop. You had a hard stop?
Yeah, I can wait to come.
Okay. excuse me, Jamie. Please continue.
No, that's fine. I'm just looking at some of these, and unless there's more that I skimmed over, but there wasn't a lot of, here was a recommendation from the 106 group that doesn't meet the local ordinance as a local landmark.
Did we override what 106 said back?
Right.
If you, oh,
that's
not
what
we,
happened. Okay.
If you
yes,
look at those minutes, there was conversation that not everyone felt that the 106 group did a deep dive, which they did not. I mean,
it
I think
was
we've
phase one.
Yeah, it was a phase one for sure. There was more conversation. And then when the council made the decision, it was really based mostly on the fact that the ownership and the who had lived in that house as making a significant asset to the community. That's why it was designated.
Well,
and frankly, it was a strong negotiating point for the neighborhood in terms of everything that was happening with the Nichols apartment.
And Christine is very right that we should not. I didn't bring this issue up, but I mean, this was part of a fairly
thing.
Taking it down.
They moved it. I let Aaron.
It was part of a controversial, slightly controversial, aren't they all? development project in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, this was not basically just a standalone. We're doing this.
That's how they got to the point.
This was tied to a development, and again, I'm not going to comment on if the moving and saving was a key point between the developer and the neighborhood association for support, because I don't think there was ever general support.
But it was part of the whole conversation.
But it was part of the conversation. You should know that. I mean,
right.
That's why I'm saying we should have it here, because this at the city council level, this had hours and hours of public testimony. It wasn't a quick thing. And so I just think whatever we do with this, people should be able to weigh in, both the owner who isn't here and also the investors.
But the question's an economic viability, right?
Right.
Isn't that all we're talking about?
But I think, and this is me not speaking to the commission, I don't think economic viability has been fully explored
in terms of what's in the packet.
To move it forward, I'm going to make a motion.
Okay.
Based on the information in our packet and the information that I've heard tonight here brought forward by people sitting at the table, I move to approve the demolition permit.
Mm-hmm. Recommend approval.
Recommend approval of the demolition permit.
I would second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Motion by Dan, second by
Tom.
Tom.
Sorry. That's okay. I'm new.
Discussion.
Well, this could apply to Carlton or other properties. What if, we went through the recession, people went bankrupt. So let's say that we force them, or whatever words you want to use, to renovate this property, and they're unable to.
Okay, I'm going to comment that having a public hearing doesn't determine the results. It doesn't say that that's what would happen. So to speak of that, I don't think,
Well, but it could come up that in future buildings and stuff, this is significant economic hardship as I see it.
Right.
Can I just, not jumping into the discussion part, but I just want to make sure that if you're going to make a recommendation like that in a motion, I would ask that you reference what you're basing it on. So in this case, I would assume you're basing it on the submittal by the property owner.
Correct.
By the numbers.
He summarized the packet very well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
Aaron, I want to clarify. Are we under 19B12? Is that kind of where we're at with regard to the ordinance?
The old ordinance?
No, the current
ordinance. No, we're under the old ordinance.
Okay. So you're under 19B06 subdivision 2, which talks about demolition permit, and you're referring back up to 19B04 subdivision 2, because that's where the changes happened. Economic viability.
I don't have that in front of me, but is there criteria that should be referenced with regard to the motion?
No, because all it says is blah, 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 the adaptive reuse of the structure.
Blah, blah, I like it.
It was a very basic ordinance. We've had, unfortunately, to go around with this one. So really all you're talking about is that you are recommending the approval of demolition permit based on not economically feasible, based on the submittal from the developer.
Okay, and I'll comment. I don't feel we have all of the data we need to determine economic feasibility.
If we had a public hearing, what would it be? Would it be at our next scheduled meeting here or a separate meeting? Separate from that?
I can't speak to that. I don't see why it couldn't be at the next meeting.
Yeah, just a normal
meeting. I mean, we can open a public hearing, as we talked about, within our meeting at 6 o'clock.
Gotcha.
I think, yes. I think one of the key points that was made sitting at the table by Aaron was the reason the city doesn't want it is because of the numbers that they've been given.
They're not the business of,
The council has not officially said that they would not accept the building. I'm just saying that from a staff level, that is not something we would recommend. We will not recommend to the council that they would accept that building for a dollar.
Correct.
Based on a number of reasons, including cost involved, but also we have nothing to do. I don't know what we would do.
What if we lowered it to 50 cents?
I'm not commenting on the
where I'm coming on this is because this was really part of a whole conversation and the neighborhood was very involved and there were people who were interested in both buildings and using them, independent of this applicant. There were people who wanted to use the buildings and had planned to. Because of the detail that was gone into and that history, I believe that having a public hearing on this is appropriate because this is not a forum in which any of those people can provide us with an update.
I'm extremely torn on this issue, but I need to understand, not from the general public, but you say you need more information. What information do you feel you're missing besides public comment about the building? Technical information about the building.
If no one comes forward in a public hearing that proposes how it could be rehabbed and used in an economically viable way, that would be something I would hope would come forward. It may not. I'm not saying that it could.
But nobody from the public would have the cost analysis and all that has been provided to us and others. So I don't know what would be accomplished by a public hearing.
Well, the documents would be online.
All these documents are available.
They read the same documents we.
So they could. They could look at that. Someone could say,
and this is a tough question. I need to call the question.
Yeah. There is a motion on the table.
There's a motion on the table and a second, which we've noted, done very well. all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I think a hand raise is going to be called
for. Let's do that. It makes my life a little easier. Yeah. If you can, all those in favor. So we've got, let me quick do this. Keep them up for a second. Aye is Tom and Friends and Mark. Okay.
All opposed?
Did somebody not vote?
Oh, I see.
Aaron didn't vote.
I didn't see Aaron.
I voted.
So the motion
fails.
So the motion fails 5-4.
Do I have another motion?
Motion to hold a public hearing based on to gather more potential information. Based on more than what we have in the packet.
Aaron, is that sufficient?
Or are you looking for potential buyers?
No, I mean, sufficient is what do you guys want to do? I mean, if your intent is you want to just hold a public hearing to gather more input, that's all you got to say is we want to hold a public hearing to gather more input.
So will that request trigger a formal request to the buyer to come present, and they could choose not to?
Dave
Peterson, who chaired the task force on the ordinance, Dave did call me this afternoon saying no one was going to be here, and we did have a conversation.
Okay.
Not revealing it. Okay, I have a motion. Yes. Do I have a second?
Barry
seconds it. Any discussion?
Is it... are we setting a date, or are we just saying we're having a
set a date now. I would request. And to be honest, with the timing, right now the 60-day rule comes up July 11th. So I would recommend that we have it at our next meeting.
In the June.
At our June meeting. Mm-hmm. At our
okay,
June
can
meeting.
I do an interstitial thing here then, since I'm not present the last week in June, and was going to ask commission members if they would like to reschedule it for the week. Our normal meeting to the week before the last week in June, given the newness of many members, not prioritizing.
I think
it's
with July 4th weekend coming up right after
that. July 4th week is the one right after.
Yeah.
So I was thinking scheduling it that week, maybe it's okay, but.
No, I think going 1 week back is good.
What dates are you talking about?
I would ask Aaron to do a doodle poll if that's, but I think we need a motion to reschedule, which we would need to wait until we act on this.
Right.
Yeah, if we're actually not going to hold it at a regular meeting, then yeah, let's do it via poll, although I have to admit,
I can't do it the week of the 20th, if that's what it is.
Aaron, what I'm suggesting is we reschedule our regular meeting.
Okay, so you're
not that we do this as a special meeting, but that we reschedule.
Instead of the 27th, the 20th, you're saying.
I'm asking for consideration of that.
So can we just say we'll hold the public hearing at our next meeting, and then we'll
later
have another motion to.
We're mixing two topics.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just really
I think
quickly,
we have to call the question.
Well, I think the first thing you should do is to vote on the question about having a public hearing at our next meeting, and then let's talk about when the next meeting is.
Okay.
Call the question. All in favor of holding a public hearing at our next monthly meeting?
Okay, so we'll keep your hands up quick, just so this is easier for me. So we got Mark and
Aaron. If you want to provide name tags, we'll wear name
tags. I like that.
We used to have name plates, but they don't work either.
We're just called Trent,
James, Barry. Okay, I got it. So
all opposed?
Yeah,
got that. Okay, motion carries. Aaron, we need to move on to the Carlton, which is, I think...
Well, no.
We got the date we want to set.
I think we should discuss
the
date.
I apologize. Yes.
If you're going to change your next meeting date or not. Now, again, we've run into this where it is hard. I will never get everybody to come to a meeting. So you have to recognize that. So then the question comes down to who we prioritize missing. So I have to comment that generally we try not to bounce meeting dates once you have a set one because it does cause problems. So I think you need to decide, do you want to change a meeting date or not?
I think since it's the week leading up to the 4th of July, I think it would be a wise idea to maybe move it up a week.
That would be the 19th through 23rd are the weekdays in June.
You can't do the 19th, we have a city council.
That's a Monday.
We'd be looking at a Tuesday.
Tuesday only?
Yeah.
That'd be the 20th.
Do you have availability of the council chambers there?
We may have to have them here sometimes. You don't know. We'll take availability if possible, but I can't guarantee Tuesday's not a city day.
So we're moving it.
I would actually need a motion to whatever motion you want, not to move it or to move it.
Taken by the transportation committee.
I make a motion to move the date.
I'm sorry?
I make a motion to move the date from the 27th, was it normally scheduled?
Yes,
yeah.
It was. To the 20th.
Yeah, to a determined date that we agree on.
Date
yeah, to a date to be agreed upon.
I'll second that.
Before.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Who's I missed. Sorry.
I like it. These two are, you know, now I've got the names.
To move it to the week before?
No, just to move it first, then we'll discuss.
Yeah, the motion was to move the date.
Okay,
and then
that's fine.
It,
and then
yeah.
I'll send out a doodle poll. We'll figure it out.
Sure.
I'm just going to have to go with
yeah.
simple majority. I don't know what
yeah.
else to do and how to prioritize it. So.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I think we should stay with regular meetings. Right.
Motion carries 8-1. Barry voting against.
Right.
Oh, Karen didn't vote. She recused herself or abstained.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
Oh, she,
you're done.
I don't know why you guys are.
Yeah. So do we try to set a date now or no?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay.
You saw the one doodle poll, right? Wasn't there one doodle poll since you guys have been on? Do you guys know what a doodle poll
yes.
is?
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
no.
Aaron,
there's that thing we voted on for our dates for the other meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're on the card.
Okay, election advice chair.
Don't we have to talk about...
I know, about the Carlton.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say you see what's left in this agenda. Pick one.
Don't we have to do the Carlton?
That's up to you guys, but deal with the rest next week.
It's our decision, but
let's do the Carlton.
I believe we need to do the Carlton.
Okay. I'll write
that. And I'm going to ask if we can hold on electing a vice chair.
That is...
I don't think that's a big deal.
No, yeah. That's fine.
Okay,
somebody
Carlton,
wants to. Okay.
The only thing it could be is if you can't be at the next meeting.
Oh, yeah,
well,
can I quickly ask Dan, would you be interested because you get the experience in being vice chair, so if she's not here, you could run a meeting?
Well, the problem is if the meeting don't get changed, I know that's right now just listening to her talk, her and I are on town some of the same weeks, not together.
Start that rumor.
I know that Mark... might be interested in being vice chair.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was interested. You sent me a note. Would I be willing?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to have
again,
someone wants the arm wrestle. I'll, you know, give it
and he break. Did say, I said I would open it up to see who else might
that's,
be interested.
Yeah. Are you interested yeah. then? Mark? I'm willing to serve. Is anybody else
willing
to serve?
I'm not seeking the office.
That's what
does anybody else want to do this? I make
the vice chair would just be here. When
I make a motion to nominate Mark Carlson.
And
as
the
our
premise on this was, and it's why Aaron Beneke served as vice chair. He was not automatically moving into the chair position
right.
after a year or whatever.
I'm not interested.
Yeah,
I
so
understand.
Yeah.
I said help
with which isn't in our bylaws. Yeah. We don't need that.
We have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Yep.
The team is doing it again, Aaron. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
He's looking down when they're pointing.
Sorry, I'm right.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I got
we got it.
It.
Yeah,
Brent's
got
it.
He made the motion.
So he's here to take
it. All I can say is anybody else feel free to step in.
It's too late, Mark.
I know. Yeah, yeah, we have a bonus.
Discussion.
It's not
yeah.
said,
I'm happy
discussion.
To help.
Yeah, so then he can't say no.
Okay, call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Mark is staged. I have to recuse myself.
Yeah. Hey, way to go, vice chair.
Okay.
I get the company car. I can't wait to drive home.
I don't even know where this is anymore.
Carlton, we're going back to?
They requested that we definitely.
Okay. Aaron, can you provide.
So, I will give a quick rundown on this. So, this is one of those items where we have our new ordinance, we learn new things as we go. First thing we've learned is that while an ordinance says that we provide to the State Historic Preservation Office any designation applications for landmark property, and that's one of the handouts I gave you that on the second page has a highlight to it, it's a Minnesota statute actually. So we learned that it's not just something we do that would be nice to have SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office comment, it is required by statute. Mm. So, in this situation, the HVC approved, or accepted, I should say, the application from the City Council on April 22nd, at our April 22nd meeting, I think it was, I'm not sure the date, something like that. On April 23rd, I forwarded it to SHPO for their review. So that means their 60-day review period is up June 23rd. They have not commented yet, they're not ready to comment yet, and so we cannot hold a hearing until that happens. So at this point in time, the recommendation is, for that timing situation, don't hold a hearing until at least after June 23rd. So we have no option on that. That's a statutory requirement. I verified that with SHPO, and they very much agree with that, that we should not, cannot hold that hearing
and
until
then. And our ordinance states that if they have 60 days to do it. And so from the date it's given to them, we can't do anything until that 60 days is up, even if they turn it in early.
Well, no, actually, we can. Because as long as we have their comment, we can do it early.
But we can't schedule it till we have their comment because we can't.
Well, and the other side of that too is that we should give all parties time to review their comments first, so they can appropriately respond to them. So at this point in time, moving forward, as we now know, anytime that we will set a hearing for a landmark designation or a landmark district designation, we will then forward that immediately to SHPO, and we'll set the hearing date for 60 days after.
Or ask them when they could get it to us, but not.
Generally speaking, from talking to SHPO. Assume the 60 days.
So that makes sense, but the other request that they're making is that we indefinitely take it off.
Yeah.
So that would be part two. I actually forwarded you something, which I do apologize. I do not like doing the day of meetings. I did pass it out to you tonight. It's in front of you. It is their updated request for continuance, which is dated May 23rd. But, you know, again, it is what it is. It was forwarded to you. They provided some more information. What they're requesting is as I stated in my memo, I do agree with the fact that now that there are no development permit applications pending on this project, there's not the immediate rush that there was before to deal with situations like that. But at the same time, because of the nature of this building and the fact that our current ordinance does provide protections to landmark properties, I would never endorse an indefinite continuance. I would set a date certain that this hearing will happen. We now know that it has to happen after June 23rd. What they're requesting is that it happens at our September 26th meeting, what they're requesting.
Pat has a comment too, I believe.
For the record, I want to have the members acknowledge that either electronically or on paper, you got the slate submittal that was
from when on use. You've had an opportunity to read it, and you have considered it before you're going forward with any action. And can I have some kind of verbal that you have done that?
Let's take it around the table.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I haven't read it because I didn't think I was going to be at this meeting, so I just looked at it now.
As long as you are reading it before you are making decisions on action that you may be doing.
Sure.
And we are going to give you a reading test to see how fast you are.
There is case law that indicates that you need to be able to acknowledge that things that are submitted at the last moment that have been a request by the applicant to be considered, we must know that all the Christian members have done so.
Various bad time. Jamie? Yeah.
Yes.
Trent?
Yes.
Yes, I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. I've reviewed it.
I've read it.
I've read it.
I'm okay. Yep.
I will read it before I act on anything. Is that what you're asking?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Or you can abstain.
No, I'll read it. I just meant to make you guys sit for.
There's another piece to it. Aaron, do you want to address the PDN recommendation?
Yep. Hold on one second. I didn't take my minutes. Okay, so we have one request for. That you're just acknowledging, as you received, that the applicant requests that the hearing be held at our September meeting. Again, you can see why they requested that. What they are asking for, and I've made this explicitly clear with them, that they need to address the items that relate to landmark designation, which are the A through H in our ordinance under that section. And they have requested time to hire their own consultant to do so. I can address the fact that while this has been an ongoing issue in front of the council and the HBC, it has been done under a different developer who was taking the lead. Once that deal fell through, all the applications were pulled. The current owner is saying that they have not done their work on this, and that's why they're requesting the time. Just clarify that part. Now, the other part of this is that we did ask our new consultant, PVN, to review the 106 group report that was used initially when the HBC made their recommendation that this is a potentially historic property under the old ordinance. 106 group did use our new ordinance as part of their review because we knew with fair certainty that the council was going to adopt that ordinance shortly after this review was done. So they used our new ordinance for review. You see the recommendation in there to follow certain things. So we did ask PVN, though, to make a review of the 106 group review. Since they're our new consultant, we want to make sure that as our acting consultant that we're hopefully going to have a longer-term relationship with, they don't have any concerns. They did identify one concern. That's identified what they want to do here. It'll take them roughly 2 hours, and they can have it done as soon as we need to for a hearing. If the hearing was actually going to be on the 31st, they would have had it done for the 31st.
And what it is the context identified for the Carlton is called Born in a Storm Bias, which is an interesting acronym. And that is this broad term from the tornado through the present day. Context is what you place the building in this case. There's another piece, which is period of significance, which is what the 106 group did not identify for the Carlton. And PVN, I think, rightly recommended that should be part of what is being considered in a local landmark designation, that a period of significance has been identified. Because if work goes forward and it's National Register listed, or doing things under, even in ours, under Department of the Interior, Secretary of the Interior standards, the period of significance is the period to which it needs to be restored. And for instance, Conley Moss building, which people are familiar with, that ended up not being the Conley Hammer factory, but it ended up being the wool factory that was there. So that was the period that was considered significant. So PVN has committed to doing that in 2 hours, which is fine.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I would recommend that we have it proceed to do that, so we are in good order. But so those two items were identified as being outstanding items.
The person who did that designation is here shaking his head, so I don't know if he disagreed with what you just said.
It's not public comment.
If something's fact like wrong, I would sort of like.
No, we don't.
No, we can't do that. It's not public hearing.
Don't facts matter?
They're not staff, as you've seen from city council meetings.
But we have allowed in other committees that I want other people to testify.
And you are now on a commission that actually has authority in our ordinance to make decisions.
Right.
So
conversation for afterwards. It's not going to occur now.
Yeah.
You are on advisory committees. Very different.
I still think getting the facts to make the appropriate decision is very important.
And when we had the public hearing on them,
anything we do, I think it's important. So I just think if we have somebody shaking their head, that
we've hired a consultant though that is so supposed to be giving us those facts.
I thought that's the point of the hearing.
Yeah. Well, I should just mention that they
were. We'll invite them to that public hearing.
Yeah. Aaron has summarized the request. The request for a continuance through September. He summarized the data. And
they're saying they're asking for at least until September.
At least until September.
Right.
And they're we are now aware that we would have all the data we needed that was missing by the end of June on the date that Aaron has given us. So at this point, I believe we need a motion on what we wish to do with this continuance request.
No discussion, you want a motion?
If people wish to discuss it, that would be fine.
Well, I'll make the comment because I was about to make a motion, but it appears that from what I understand, they can't do anything to the building based on its status until it comes before this commission, right? There's nothing on the plate. Nothing can happen until they come back before us. They're asking for something that is a continuance till September 26th.
Well, they're asking for an indefinite continuance.
Yeah, we're
well, if there is one, they want to go until September.
I guess I don't have a problem with an indefinite continuance, but does the rest of the group?
The
okay, so I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
what?
The city council has made this a priority.
Okay.
Well, and I should also note that the city council has made a comment that they are also not in favor of indefinite continuances. They like kind of date certain as
yeah.
well. So as HBC, you have options here.
We've already done. We've already started the process. We've already started some of the work. It would be.
We have to face
it doesn't make sense to just
stop. So in the interest of time,
are we
I'm
able
just going to make a motion that we offer a continuance for public hearing until September 26th of 2017.
Second.
And Aaron, have you calculated that out? Is that within the 120 days?
What's that?
Is that within the 120 days?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because we got a, the actual application date was, let me think here.
But that application was pulled, correct?
No, but the application that we received as far as that landmark designation, so let's see.
Was, I think, April 4th or something.
And I apologize, I was making an assumption they also probably voted that out.
Here's what we know. So when somebody, this will be outside the 120 days. So the request, thank you, Matt. Very good point. So obviously. So the request then is that if they want continuation to this date, then we have a form that they sign that waives all time requirements per state statute. So that means that we no longer are any sort of time limit to make a decision on this. To be honest, we would have to have had them done that if we would have continued indefinitely anyways. So they would, if they would have got their request to continue indefinitely, they have to waive that time requirement, that 6120 requirement. They have to waive that. Now, this September is going to be out of it because the date of the application was technically April. I think we're calling it 22nd. So this would be outside of that 120 window.
Okay.
So
I think we've gotten it.
So my motion would be.
I'll help you.
Is you?
I would like to amend the motion and say that this is.
Contingent
on their execution of waiving their 120-day right.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, Barry?
Yeah.
Did we have a second?
I apologize. Yeah, there was a second.
There was a second. Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've been going to a lot of city council meetings, and this has been discussed many, many times. And this is not something new. And the owner, while he wasn't the developer, he was still around. And so the idea that he doesn't know about this, I think, is a little far-fetched. I'm also extremely concerned by his statement in here that our client wants this matter indefinitely continued until such time as there is a pending development project. That's actually the reverse of what it should be. The whole point of establishing HPC was to let the developers know what they could and couldn't do because there's specific standards that are different for historical buildings than for other buildings.
Well, let's spin that a little bit and say it also potentially gives them dollars to do work on their building
right.
if they wanted to.
And it gives them a better planning potential. So the idea that they want that their goal is to push this off until they get a developer who's going to then come up with something and then come to us is the reverse, because basically, if we were to do that, we wouldn't basically landmark any building. We would basically, the
We'd
building would all
wait
until the developer came forward. And that would put too much development pressure on us. The whole point of all of this is to get
to avoid the frenzy of a developer.
So I would rather have a hearing in July or June or sooner rather than later. Right?
Well, we can't do it in June based on the timeline of getting things done.
Right.
My opinion is the HBC voted this as a landmark in December, the HBC. At that time, it went under the old ordinance, therefore it was going before City Council for a public hearing. That never happened because that public hearing would have occurred before the development application public hearing. So it just got sort of dragged along from January 4th through April 4th as it kept getting continuing. At the April 4th meeting, the City Council voted it as a landmark and forwarded it to the HPC to hold a public hearing.
They nominated it as a landmark.
They nominated.
They didn't say that.
But given the ordinance, they forwarded it to us to hold a public hearing regarding local designation.
So the one comment I can make...
I need to finish, please, Aaron. So my opinion is that that charge has been given to us. We now know that we will have data at the end of June, and logically this could be scheduled for July. That would be my take on it.
What's the damage? I want to hear the damage between July and September.
I don't like the idea that a developer can just go outside the normal time limits to do this. I just think it's an excuse. And basically, when you look at this letter, it kind of all violates our role. The client wants this matter postponed until there's a pending development project. That defeats the whole idea of
being that's not
that's what you're doing.
No, that's not what we're doing, but that shows you the intent. So what I'm saying is that I would prefer, I don't see any reason to postpone it later than that. They can move their consultant to do the work.
Because nothing's going to happen. I mean, what
happened is we know if the project was considered to be a landmark or not.
Okay, we have a comment here from Pat, which I'd like to hear.
Mm-hmm. So there was a meeting with Mr. Utes, Aaron, Terry Atkins, the city attorney, and myself. And one of the reasons they were citing for their continuance is that they want to hire their own person, like a PVN, to do an evaluation of the building. And so that was part of the reason that they were asking to push the public hearing so that they would have their report to submit to the HPC for consideration as well before you make your decision. He said that was already begun. He did not give any idea when it would be concluded, but I specifically asked, have you, contracted for this to happen? And he said yes.
So all I can say is that generally then what will happen is if you hold this at a date earlier, the applicant's going to come in and request to be continued because they don't have enough information. And then you as an HPC is going to decide, well, should we wait for more information from the applicant or do we make a decision without it? So I guess if you're comfortable with the applicant's request based on the fact that they feel this is how long it's going to take them to prepare the information they need, then that way at least you'll know that on that meeting, should have everything from the meeting.
I'm going to call the question. We have a motion and a second on the table, and I think we had substantial enough conversation. I'm going to call the question. All in favor of the motion on the table?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
So we're continuing it to September, should.
Which is our HPC.
Contingent on them waiving the 120-day rights.
Yeah, that was part of the motion.
We have one more motion that we do need, because if for whatever reason they do not waive their 120-day rights, we need to extend the date. Because if they don't waive those rights, they don't agree to that, we're going to have to hold this hearing then probably at our June meeting.
Sure.
To meet the timelines, if possibly a little later than that, but regardless, we would like a motion, and I'll kind of try to read this to you here. Maybe, Pat, do you have it? I have it. Otherwise, I know I do. I just got so much stuff here. But we need a motion to automatically extend this from 60 days to 120 days to cover ourselves. So that way we're protected to get through the time review time period needed by SHPO, and then to give us time to hold a hearing in case they do not agree to an indefinite, or to waiving the timing rights to hold this hearing in September. So the motion is... Pursuant to Minnesota Statute 15.99, the HPC extends the deadline for HPC action on the application to, and then we need to pick a date, and what I would say then is we pick our July meeting date, which is...
Okay, someone can make a motion just saying, according to what Aaron said.
Yeah, so moved. Brent, we doing a tag team?
Yeah.
Okay. We got Brent and Trent. That would be to July 25th is when you'd hold the hearing.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on that. Do I have any discussion?
Gotcha.
Then I call the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously, Aaron.
Okay.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So
Everything else, on, the only thing I can say, this is off agenda, but please send me your list. We won't discuss offline, but I will rank them by one. And then next meeting you will have a rank for discussion. So please send me your list.
Hey folks, this is Karen's last meeting.
Good luck, guys.
Have fun.
Come back.